A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Daf Dalet, Ksubas 4a, pagination is 7. We're going to start on the facing page, three lines up. So we're on Gimel Amud Beis 3b, the last three lines. The case that the Gemara will outline over here is a tragic case, a case where a Chassan and Kala were ready to get married, and a family member passed away just at that time. And the question is how we should proceed. Should we continue doing the chasana? If so, what are the ramifications of the 7 days of Avelus? What are the ramifications for the 7 days of Sheva Brachas? So the Gemara states as follows. Haresha Yapito Afui, a person's bread was baked, v'tivcho tavuach, and the animals for the meat were already slaughtered, v'yeno mazug, and the wine was already mixed with water appropriately to give it the proper taste. They had very strong wine, and it was understood that things had to be mixed with water in order to make it palatable. And at that point, once you cannot turn back the clock anymore, these things are going to spoil if they're not used now for the wedding. And we do have an agenda that the wedding should be beautiful. We saw before, Shaktu Chachamim. The Chachamim wanted to make sure that a woman gets married with the proper dignity. And at that moment, when things were irreversible in the preparations, Umeis Aviv Shal Chasan O Ima Shal Kala, and the father of the chasan, or the mother of the kala, passed away. The Gemara explains the significance, specifically in Talmudic times, the father of the chasan, because he would be in charge of the meal, and the mother of the kala, because she would be in charge of what's referred to as tachshitin, ornaments, which may very well have had responsibilities well beyond what type of earrings the kala was going to wear. But these two people were considered significant in the preparation necessities, and without them, it was doubtful that a proper chasna would be able to be made. They would certainly wed, but it wouldn't be with a proper chasna, and therefore the loss of the father of the chasan or the mother of the kala was so significant that machnisim es hameis lecheder, you would put the dead person aside, ves hachasan ves hakala lechupa, and you would bring the chasan and kala to chupa, the ruling essentially being do the chasna before the levaya. Uboil be'ilas mitzvah, and the chasan and kala would have relations, so that the obligation for sheva brachas would kick in. Uporesh, and then he would separate from her. V'noeg shivas yimei hamishta, and they would have 7 days of festivity. V'achakach noeg shiva yimei avelos, and afterwards they would do the 7 days of mourning. Now, what did it mean that they would separate? The kol osan hayamim, those days, hu yashen ben hanashim v'hi yishena ben hanashim, he would have to be accompanied when sleeping with the men, and she would be accompanied with the women. In other words, we don't leave them alone with yichud, but instead we have shomrim. Ve'imonim tachshitim in akala kol shloshim yom, and you don't restrain the kala from ornaments for 30 days. So we have a tremendous ruling over here, which is that once you do the chuppah, the chasna, they have relations, they're entitled to continue their 7 days of honoring the chasna, even as the rest of the family, presumably, is going to be doing avelus, and the chasan kala, whoever is in mourning, is not going to start their avelus until after their 7 days of sheva brachas. The Gemara tells us, "V'davka aviv shal chasan o ima shal kala, This is specifically, as we mentioned, the father of the chasan, the mother of the kala, the leka inish the tarach luhu, because there's no one else that could do the type of work and remobilize the chasna. Aval if chalo, but the Gemara maintains, in their time, if it was the reverse, the culture did not support this leniency, because the culture was that the important person was still living. He'll do it again. He'll manage to pull it off again. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, Lo Shanu, this ruling only applies, El Shanas and Mayim Al Gabei Basar, that the water was already applied to the meat. Avalonasa Mayim Al Gabei Basar Mizdavin, but if you didn't apply the water, whatever their approach was, it could still be sold. It doesn't spoil so quickly. And essentially what he's saying is, if it could be sold, then you don't have this leniency. Amar Rava Uvikrach Afapishanasan Mayim Al Gabei Basar Mizdavin. Rava said, if you're in a big city, even with water on the meat, readied, you already put on the spreads, it could still be sold because it's a big city, there's a market for things. Amar Rav Papa said, Uvikfar Afapishalonasan Mayim Al Gabei Basar Lo Mizdavin. Rav Papa said, if you're in a very small city, even if you didn't put the water on it, you didn't put the dressings on it, it still can't be sold. There's not enough of a market in a small city. What was the case that was referred to over here? Amar Rav Ashi, the case that they were describing was Kigon Masa Machasya, the Mafka Mikrach, or Mafka Mikfar. A city like Masa Machasya is not quite a big city. It's not quite a small city. And that's why with surgical precision, they issued the ruling that if the spread, the dressing was not yet applied to the meat, then you have this special ruling. It could still be sold. But if the dressing was applied, it spoils too fast, and it would not be able to be sold, and you would proceed with the chasna. What comes to mind over here is three very specific considerations, and this ruling with very precise considerations is which relative passed away, number one. Number two, were the expenses already taken care of and they can't be recovered? And number three is to be aware of the variable that even if the expenses were done and they normally couldn't be recovered, but if you're in a big city and you could strike a deal and you could recover them, then this leniency would not apply. Now, the Nekudas HaKesef in Yoredeya Shin Mem Beis writes that this leniency doesn't apply in our time, because even if that critical person passed away, some other person in the family would step forward and take care of it. In the words of the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach, Shechiach Harbe, it is normal, Shesh'or Kerovim Matrichim Atzmam Umachinim Tzorche Suda V'Tachshitim, that other relatives will come forward and take care of things. Nevertheless, there definitely are cases where a Rav may rule that it's necessary for the Chasna to proceed before the Levaya. Reb Moshe, in Igros Moshe, Yoredeya Aleph, Resh Chaf Vav, uses the wording, V'haya ba'ofen, the incident occurred in a way, Shalohaya mutalasas hanesuin, that it was not permitted to do the chasna at that time. And clearly his indication in the wording is that he would entertain the possibility that in certain cases it may be necessary to do the chasna and rely on the leniency of this Gemara. But the particular case that was presented to him was haya be'ofen. It occurred in a way that it was not justifiable. in the very next tshuva, Resh Chaf Zayin, Reb Moshe points out that sometimes the schar ulam, the price of the wedding hall, ola sach godol, is so expensive and sometimes not retrievable. And there could be cases, Reb Moshe indicates, that a recognized posek might rule that they should proceed with the chasna. I recently came in contact with a local Rebbetzin who told me that when she got married, this was the circumstance of her marriage. Emotionally difficult case, but fascinating in its ramifications. Her father-in-law was a local Rav, and he was very sick at the time of the chasna, and he actually passed away right before the chasna. Together with the information that the father passed away, they also sent a message from the shul board of directors to the almost young couple getting married, that they wanted this young rabbi getting married to take his father's place as Rav of their shul. Just to add to the emotions of the moment, she told me that the ruling was that they should go to chuppah because they relied on this gemara. Whatever the circumstances were, they felt it necessary. However, they did not do the 7 days of Sheva Brachas and then the Avelus. She described how the Rabbonim came to her and told her that it would be much better for her and her chassan that they should have her agree to forego the 7 days of Sheva Brachas and instead participate in the Avelus. The way it was explained to her is, you're going to have a situation where you're going to be in Sheva Brachas, and then after everybody else is done with the Avelus and you have no family support, then you're going to start your Avelus. It doesn't work well. And presumably what they were asking from her was that she should be mochel, that she should understand the case and be willing to forgo the Sheva Brachas, and she described that that's what she did. She was mochel on the Sheva Brachas, and they did the Avelus as a family together after the Chuppah. We should know only Simchas, and learning this Gemara should actually be a protection so that everybody's Chasna, Bishah Tova Umetzlachas, should be one of complete simcha. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.